Today we'll be talking about wisdom.
Amen.
Continue to talk about wisdom. And I thought I'd like to come up with something wise I can share with the congregation to get started here. Okay, and I came up with something. Okay, you ready for this? And I was thinking about this for myself first. On a Sunday morning, I should take more time preparing my heart to go to the house of the Lord and worship than I do preparing my clothes and my hair and the way I look. What do you think of that as some wisdom? I'm starting with myself, so I'm not pointing the finger at anybody or anything like that, but I'm starting with myself saying, just think about that for myself. You know, do I spend time getting my heart ready to go worship God, or do I just spend all my time getting my clothes and things ready? Now, I was pretty happy with myself this week. I don't shop much at all. You know, in fact, they say that, you know, there's at one point you kind of freeze in the best years of your life and you just keep wearing those clothes, like, all the rest of the time, right? But I was pretty happy. I was trying to find, you know, the right pair of jeans that would fit. And I had this one pair that I kind of like. And I thought, where did we get these from? Hannah bought these on Costco for me. So I went on Costco.com and ordered three pairs of those jeans. And while I was there ordering those three pair of jeans, there was a little sale that said, if you order five things, you get $20 off. So for like $60, I got three pair of jeans and two shirts. And they came to the house and I was thrilled. I was just a little upset that I had to take them out of the plastic and I washed them and I did all this. So I was pretty happy with myself. I did all this and this is what I'm wearing. You know, these are some of the new jeans I got. So I'm pretty happy with that, you know, but I don't know if this qualifies as wisdom, right? But there is a something I think us guys do as we get older. We find something that works and we just go with it, right? You know, you just stick with it, you know, but I was thinking about that. I think that's what made me think about that. And in each Sunday morning, you know, there's this thing. You probably get up and you're like, you know, what am I going to wear to church? What am I going to wear to church? And I just hope that we would think more about getting our hearts ready than picking our outfit or something like that as we come to church in the morning. Amen?
Yeah.
That would be a really good thing. I think that would qualify as wisdom. All right, I'm going to come back to that a little bit at the end, but today we're continuing to work through Ecclesiastes. We're making great progress. We're getting closer and closer to completing this book and moving on to another. And today we're going to start in Ecclesiastes 9, chapter 11, and I believe it's through 18 that we'll be covering today. So let's begin by just reading that passage. Again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time, like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare. So the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. I have also seen this example of wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building great siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor, wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that poor man. But I say that wisdom is better than might, though the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. The words of the wise heard in quiet are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to read these words together and to talk about what they mean and apply them to our lives and just share them together. I pray that we will be encouraged by what your word says today and what it's causing us to think about in our lives, Lord. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so I really, looking at this text that we're looking at, I really kind of see it in either two parts or three parts. I've broken this into three parts, but really there's two major parts. But if you just look, and I don't know if your Bible is like mine. My Bible has it in paragraphs, and really the paragraphs that I have in the ESV Bible here are just really what I would call the sections of this as we look at it. And so this first section is going to be verses 11 and 12. And if I gave this a title to itself, I would say it's a reminder that we're all in the hands of God. We're all just in the hands of God. And I think it goes back to that idea that I shared for some weeks ago, that we don't have nearly as much control over the outcome of things as we think that we do. Amen? Amen? All right, so this starts in verse 11. It says, "Again I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all." We can't be fast enough. We can't be strong enough. We can't be wise enough. We can't be rich enough. We can't be intelligent enough. We can't be knowledgeable enough that we can avoid trials and tribulations and difficulties in life. We can have all the abilities and all the talents and all the things that should put us on top, and we still will not be able to avoid things that happen, difficulties, challenges, problems, those things that happen in life. And we won't win every battle because of those things. Our talents and our abilities and things that we put pride in and put our confidence in, they're not in any way guaranteed to come through for us every time and every time that we need them. Now, when you think of your success that you've had in your life, do I have any successful people out there? Anybody successful out here? Raise your hand if you're successful. Thank you. You're all. I'm sure you're all successful in different ways. Nobody wants to raise their hand. I'm too humble for that. Not going to raise my hand. That'll look prideful. You've achieved different levels of success. My man Jeff Mundell in the back is retired from Boeing. I mean, that's success right there, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
And now you get to work. You get to work even harder, right?
Yeah.
But you've probably had some various levels of success. Maybe even just having the job you have right now, that's success, you know. Maybe have had success in your family. You've had different successes along the way, you know, as you look at it. But when you think of your successes, I'm sorry to tell you, but they're not because of you.
Amen.
They weren't because you were the fastest.
Amen.
They weren't because you were the strongest.
Amen.
Wisest.
Amen.
Most intelligent.
Amen.
Most knowledgeable. Or even best looking. You weren't the coolest, the most fashionable, you know, even if you thought you were. You weren't even the most humble. That's me. I'm the most humble. Now, when we think about it, when we really get down to our successes that we have in life, sometimes we think it's because, oh, we're good at something, but really, there are other people that are good at it and they don't have the same success, or there are other people that aren't as good at it and they have more success in an area. It's not simply that. Man's talents and man's abilities will only carry him so far. They can never guarantee the results that we ultimately might want. It doesn't work that way. Now, sometimes there are other factors in play, right? Like character and persistence and hard work. Like somebody could have all kinds of talents but not have the desire to work hard and not have persistence. And you can take somebody who's far less talented at something but they're far more persistent at it, and they could come out ahead in that, right? So sometimes there are some other factors. But those are also kind of like other talents as you mix in. And there's even no guarantee with those. Now, I did think of an example of that, what I just mentioned, though, would be that old story of the tortoise and the hare, remember? You know, who was supposed to win that race? The hare is supposed to win, but he didn't, right? Because he took a break and he got lazy. And so sometimes stuff like that happens, but other times it doesn't always work out that way. And sometimes when you look on paper and you say, hey, this is what's supposed to happen, it doesn't happen. How many of you have ever tried to fill out a bracket for the NCAA tournament, basketball tournament? How many of you have ever got a perfect bracket? How many people have ever got a perfect bracket? Do you know that there's companies out there that will pay millions of dollars to the person who fills out a perfect bracket? And they've never paid, and they probably don't lose a minute's sleep over it. Because it's so impossible, because you take all these different games between these teams and one's supposed to beat the other. Every year there's going to be upsets. And you don't know who it's going to be. On paper, this team's supposed to... And this team, listen, this team may work even harder than the other team. It may not be that this team works harder or something like that. Sometimes there's things you can't measure, but other times I think it's just the hand of God in it. That one team beats another. I mean, for the first time, I think it was 2 years ago, a number one seed, which is supposed to be one of the top four teams in the whole country, lost to a 16 team seed team, which is a team that barely makes it into the tournament. Now, how many of you knew we were going to be talking about college basketball today in church? But it's just one of the things. I think a lot about sports. It helps me to... I'm kind of a simple-minded person, you know. These are where I get a lot of my illustrations from. Today, it fits really well with this first thing that we're talking about here. But it's so impossible to pick, you know, what's going to happen in that many things that happen. And I believe that's how it is in life as you look at it. Things don't always go the way that they're supposed to go. And the way it describes it in here is time and chance happens to us all. Time and chance happens to us all. Some people might describe that as luck. But I think what it is it's really the sovereignty of God in our lives. In that things don't go how they're supposed to go on paper. And I think what we should know and understand here, that is a really good thing. And it could be really quite encouraging for us to keep moving forward and to keep pushing ahead. Like some people, maybe if you are the fastest, or if you are the strongest, or if you're the one that's supposed to be great in this world, maybe that's bad news. But I think for the rest of us, we all should kind of look at ourselves a little bit of underdog, a little bit of fighters in there, but knowing that the Lord is with us and that it's encouraging. Amen. And that we can find success in things we never would think that we would find success in because God is with us. Amen. And we don't have to be the fastest or the wisest or the strongest. Now, God also, we have to understand, He does things in unexpected ways. His ways are not our ways. Amen? He doesn't always do things the way we think He should do them. Like, we probably don't think that He should teach us something through some difficult trial or hardship. But He will do that. He does that. He does that consistently. A lot of times, we're not willing to listen when things are going well. But we become more willing to listen when we're going through a trial and a difficulty. It has our attention. Has God ever had your attention? Well, I want you to think for a second. What did God do to get your attention? Does He need to do that again? Or would it be better if you just gave Him your attention? Now I'm going to kind of tip my hand a little bit on this whole sermon. What this whole thing is about, if you think about what we're talking about today, what the Scripture tells us, and I've studied it, I've thought about it, and I got to the meaning, and now I want to apply it. It's, are we going to be listeners to wisdom? Do we listen and do we apply wisdom to our lives, or do we refuse to hear it and despise it? And are we ready for God to work through, you know, different circumstances in our life like this? God does things in unexpected ways. Now, one other phrase that came to mind for me, and I guess this is back to the encouragement, you know, encouragement for us in life is, you ever hear this phrase, well, that's why they play the game? Any of you, raise your hand if you heard it. Help me out. Anybody? Am I the only one? Just probably some of you that are in sports know that. You know, like, did you know that Alabama won 100 games against unranked opponents in a row, and they've been like a football powerhouse for like many years in a row, and they just recently lost to Texas A&M, and they weren't supposed to lose. And I could just picture somebody saying, like, well, that's why they play the game. What you're supposed to do and what you do, those are two different things. But you actually go out there and play. In wrestling, Jerry, were there ever any upsets in wrestling when you were a wrestler? You know, like, this person's supposed to win, but they don't win.
All the time.
And that's why you actually go through with. You don't just say, we report and say, oh, well, you know, this person's supposed to win, so we'll give them the victory, right? That's how it is. And that can be really encouraging. So here's where I think some of this encouragement is. Don't take credit for your victories and successes in life. Don't take credit. Give the credit to God. Also, don't be obsessed or paralyzed by your losses and your failures.
Amen.
Don't just dwell on where things went wrong. And we can become equally obsessed with our success as we are with our failures. And it can, both of those things can really drag us down. I think as people in this life, when we think about like some of our goals, like some of it might be walking with the Lord, like Eric was talking about, or being a good husband or a wife or being a parent, it takes continual commitment to keep plugging away at it.
Amen.
You haven't arrived yet. You're not there. Keep plugging away. That means keep working at it. Just keep working at it. Keep working at growing. Keep working at doing what God has you doing. Have that idea. Have that persistence in your life. Another thing, and I take this a little bit from an old Keith Green song that I like, but it's keep doing your best and pray that it's blessed and Jesus takes care of the rest. That's the song. So just keep doing your best where you are and what you're supposed to be doing. Know that it's not because of your talents and your abilities. It's really because of God, and God can work through everyday people like you and me, and keep praying that it's blessed as you do it, and then let Jesus take care of the rest. Amen. All right. Now, so that was kind of a little mini sermon just in that one verse. That's a cool verse, isn't it? If you look at it. There's a little bit more that continues in this section. He says, "For man does not know his time, like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare. So the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them." And when you think about man being snared in this net, this could be talking about death, or difficulties or challenges that we go through. Amen? So I want to say it's just death, but it's like, you look at it, one moment you may be on the top of the world. Everything may be going really well, and things may be seeming like they're going really perfectly and just what you want. And you may even be tempted to be prideful in it and what's going on. And then the next moment you may be caught in a snare, in a difficulty, in a challenge. So when I think about this, it's where it gives me that idea that when you look at these two verses in this section, that no matter what, we're in the hands of God. We're in the hands of God. And He doesn't always do things expected way. He works through those things, and we've got to be ready for it. So I say be prepared for trials, be prepared for tribulations, and even the sudden end of life. And I think that starts with having a right relationship with the Lord. It doesn't start with having enough money in the bank or something like that. It starts with having a right relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
That you've come to see your need for a Savior, and you know Jesus is that only Savior, and you have a right relationship with Him, and you are coming to the God of the Bible through what Jesus did on the cross. And that's the only way. And so it's that. That's the most important things as you look at it, and then like it's where do you really put your hope in life? Really, what are you living for? Who are you serving? You know, those kind of things. But be prepared, knowing that days of trial will come, but also that knowing that day of great victory will come in the Lord too. Amen? And there's more to look forward to than there is to be afraid of. But be prepared for that. And stay humble. The second thing, stay humble. I mean, this should humble all of us as we look at it. You know, just reminding that it's not because of our talents and our abilities. It's because of God.
Amen.
Now, I'll confess something to you. When I was growing up, I was terrible at finding jobs. I was really bad at getting jobs. Like, I mean, I got some, but there were two of them that I blew. Like around college. Fred Meyer didn't want me. And UPS didn't want me either. And Fred Meyer didn't want me because there was an honesty test that I failed. And now I'm your pastor. They had this test. And on this test, They asked these questions. This one question they said, have you ever taken anything from your workplace? They said, keep in mind, nearly everybody's taken something from their workplace. Yes or no? That was the question. And I said, well, yes, I've taken something from my workplace. I've taken a pen, you know, or these things, you know. So I put yes, because that was honest. And apparently, they didn't want my honest answer. And they said they weren't going to hire me because of that. This is when I was in college. So, do any of you remember that? I felt really, really bad about that. And another time, when I was in college, and I was at Pierce College, I was working at Jack in the Box. Any of you ever eat at Jack in the Box? I was working there before the E. coli scare. Okay? If you ever heard of that. Okay, that was a long time ago, but I was before that. Worked on the grill, make a lot of hamburgers, get really greasy and sweaty. Really hard job. If anyone works in fast food, that's a hard job.
That was my second job.
Second job?
Yeah.
Hard. You probably earned your money there. Okay, so I wanted to get out of that. UPS came to Pierce College, and I had an interview. I interviewed with UPS, and they liked me. They liked me. They were ready to hire me. And he said, well, we have a second interview tomorrow. And he gave me a piece of paper, and it said, report at 5 a.m. And he pointed at the paper, and he said, oh, and this is 5. I thought he said, this is 5 p.m., not 5 a.m., that he corrected what was on the paper. So I crossed it out, and I put p.m. And I went there at 5 p.m. And I said, is so-and-so here? And they said, no, he's gone for the day. He comes in early. And I said, oh, shoot, did I misunderstand him? They're like, yeah, he works early. Well, that meeting was at 5 a.m. And I went back the next day. And I said, this is what happened. And he said, well, I'm sorry, you're not UPS material if you can't be to work your first day on time. That's the way we do things. You got to show up your first day on time or you're not hired. And I drove away and I was like, man, I am so stupid. Is what I was thinking in my mind, you know. Like, I have just blown it. So I'm driving around Tacoma in my mom's car. I think at the time I didn't have a car. I'm driving around. I'm just like, oh my goodness. And I thought, man, I just saw myself in that brown, you know. I mean, I was going to get the shorts and everything, you know. I joke about that. I wasn't even thinking about the brown. I learned that later. But I was thinking about the $13 an hour that I was going to get paid, which in 1991, minimum wage was $4 an hour. So it was a lot more back then. Doesn't sound so much now, but I was really excited about that. So I think God has used some of those things to humble me, like, along the way, and also His sovereignty there is there. Like, He didn't want me to have those jobs. He didn't want me to have that. But I did, I think through it, just, it did help to humble me, and also helped me to really want to jump on a job when a job came up. Like, really jump on it. I was afraid. I was afraid that I was never going to be able to find a job to support my family and do that. And so I had that kind of edge. Like, I got to get on this. I got to get it. And I do think that God helped me through that. It helped me to be more responsible and to see what could go wrong. And so anyway, so I just share some of my story. And I think that we got to stay humble. We got to be willing to stay humble.
Amen.
Then we go on to what I'll call the second section. This could be just one of two, or I'm going to break this into two. But if we just look at all of 13 through 18, those two paragraphs, I would say the whole thing is an example of wisdom, and whether or not wisdom is heard and remembered, or whether or not it's despised and ignored. Wisdom. All right, so the first part would be verses 13 through 16. This is the part where wisdom is forgotten. Wisdom's forgotten. He says, I have also seen this example of wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. So he's right. This is a great example of wisdom. This is a great picture of wisdom. There was a little city with a few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building great siege works against it. So let's make sure we understand what's happening. There's a small city, doesn't have a lot of men in the city. Now, what would the men's job typically be in a situation like this? protect and defend the city. Amen? Protect and defend the city. And so there weren't many of them. There were not many of them. A great king came. So what can we assume about the great king? He had a big army. He had a lot of weapons of war. He had those things. And he besieged the city. He laid great siege work. So they were coming in on the walls and they were going to break the walls down and they were going to come into the city and take the city over. And it wasn't looking good. It said, but there was found in it, in the city, a poor wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that poor man. This is the picture of wisdom. So in that city where they're being besieged, and what should happen is they should be destroyed, there was a wise man in the city. And he was poor. He wasn't thought of very highly at all. He wasn't popular. He wasn't successful in the city's eyes. But he had wisdom and he came up with the plan and he was able to communicate the plan. And in that moment, they followed the plan. And because they did that, they overcame the enemy that was around them. This is a picture of wisdom. Yet, after it all happened, no one remembered the poor man. No one remembered the poor man. The wisdom of the poor man delivered the city, but he was soon forgotten. Now remember, this is a picture of wisdom, what wisdom is like. Because isn't that how it is? Like sometimes wisdom is there for us and we hear it, maybe we might benefit from it for a moment, and then we quickly forget it and we move on. We don't remember wisdom when we should. He says in 16, he says, but I say that wisdom is better than might. Though the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. So, regardless of what you or I think, wisdom is better than might. It was better to have that poor man's wisdom than to have a big army in that case. So wisdom is better than might. We got a really great youth group sitting right here. I like it. I want to tell you guys, youth group, listen, wisdom is better than popularity. Do you hear how many amens there are when I talk to the youth group? How about the rest of the church too? Wisdom is better than material possessions.
Amen.
Wisdom is better than earthly success.
Amen.
Amen. Now there are two things here that we tend to do with wisdom. We tend to forget it, or we actually tend to despise it. We have to watch ourselves that those things aren't happening, that we're not forgetting wisdom and we're not despising wisdom. That's what he mentions here in this way. Now, I want to make sure I get this, because when I think about wisdom, if I think about the number one place that I can go to get wisdom, it's the Word of God. And like, if you think about this, how easy is it to imagine yourself forgetting what the Bible says? Well, if you're honest, it's probably quite easy. Because a lot of times we're spending a lot more time listening to other things than we are spending in the Word of God.
Amen.
We have more Bibles in this country that are on shelves collecting dust than probably anywhere else. And probably more Bibles that are collecting dust than Bibles that are being used. And so the number one place that we go to find wisdom is in God's Word. And God's Word speaks to us, but oftentimes we're not listening. We forget what it says, or we even despise what it says. And so if you want wisdom in your life, there's a still, quiet voice that's speaking through the Scripture. It involves you getting it and opening and you reading and you paying attention and you focusing and you learning and you studying. But God speaks through His Word. That's the number one place that we can go. But we oftentimes forget to do that, and we forget what God's Word says. The reason why I think I should read the Bible every day is I'm so forgetful. I'm so forgetful about God's promises and God's goodness. And I read the Bible and I read God's words, that God's words tell me who He is and what I should know and what I need to remember and what I need to understand. There is nothing in the world that can change your life like the Bible can change your life. And so that's where we go, and we need that. And we need to make sure that we're not forgetting it and we're not despising it. You know, I think we can despise God's Word by secretly having attitudes against God's Word and what it says. It's very possible for us to do that. If you ever feel that way, pray that God would help you to love His Word. Even if you lack an interest, like, you know, I want to read the Bible, but I'm just not interested, or I fall asleep, or this kind of thing, pray that God would change that about you. Amen. And maybe stand up when you're reading your Bible. It's harder to fall asleep when you stand up. All right, now this next section, called section 3, this is wisdom received. Wisdom received. The words of the wise heard in quiet are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. So when something's said in quiet, I even think that could be like when you're just reading your Bible or you're talking to somebody in quiet. It's more intimate, right? There are loud things in this world that are shouting and they're screaming. And they're out there and they're the loudest things. They're the flashiest things, right? That's kind of how I see this ruler shouting among fools. It's the loudest. It's the flashiest. There are those things out there. But when something's said in quiet, it's more intimate. It requires listening. It requires focus. And in this case, you know, what the wise man says quietly, he says humbly. It would have been better for them to listen and continue to listen to what the wise man's saying quietly and humbly than to just listen to the loudest things in life. Now, what are the loud things in the world today?
Children.
Was not thinking that one at all, but there's definitely truth to it. Some of you are probably saying, my husband. No. What I mean by that, when I say the loud things, I mean like, I think politics, yeah, news stories, you know, differences of opinion, you know, social media, you know, these kind of things, whatever. And I'm not talking about one bent or another, but just different things, you know, like, I mean, as a person, I'm just going to tell you, I'm a conservative person. As a conservative person, there's always a temptation to get more into conservative politics than into the Word of God and listen to the Word of God and those things. Hopefully they're influenced by the Word of God and by your Christianity, but there's plenty of it that's, I'm just telling you, it's not inspired by God. Okay? And so we have to be cautious with that, and we need to make sure we don't pour all our hearts into thinking that politics are the answer for things, knowing that, you know, really we need to put our hearts and our attention and our listening into the Word of God. Those things may have our attention. Like, some people really find it a lot easier to listen to something like sports or politics or something like that because it's what's going on today. It seems so relevant. And that's like saying the Bible is not relevant. The Bible is more relevant than those things today as you look into it. So you don't want to have all your attention in just to the things that are loud. And the things that are loud are just what's going on today. And I think, like, as a parent, that can be your kids, you know, in some sense. Right? I will tell you, as a parent who we're blessed with four kids and they've all grown up to young adults now, that, man, that young time when your kids are all loud and you're yelling up, it's mostly a season in life that you go through and you get to the other side of it, and then they drive you crazy for a while other ways. And, you know, it's just different. But like, watch out for those things that are just the loud things in the world, that just try to focus your attention on to things that don't matter. Kids really matter. That's the good thing about kids. They really matter, right? Amen? Parents matter, don't they? Get youth group, can I get amen? Parents matter, right? Amen? Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So when a ruler shouts among fools, if you went back kind of the example of the war, the battle, and other things, it's probably when it's something good that's shouted among fools, it's probably not listened to. Right? The loudest, here's another thing. The loudest or most talkative person is not necessarily the wisest person. Amen? The first one to talk is not necessarily the most wisest. The one who talks the most is not the most wisest person to listen to, that you need to listen to. That's like the ruler shouting among fools, you know, as you think about it. Now, wisdom is available. It's there. And it comes down to this one thing. Are you listening? Are you listening to wisdom? God has put wise and humble and godly people in your life, in addition to His Word and His Spirit, but He's put people in your life. Are you listening? Or do you know it all already? Do you have things all figured out? Do you have that level of humility where when wisdom is quietly presented in front of you, whether it be through the Word of God, you just read it in Scripture, or a person comes alongside you and shares wisdom and you hear it, are you listening? Are you taking it in? Will you receive it? Or are you more likely to be the one who forgets it, despises it, doesn't want it? It says in 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. So if you continue with the wise man, the poor wise man, and you look at this as all one thing, his wisdom was more important than them having a big defense and all the weapons that they could have had. It was better. His wisdom was superior. And I go back to that, what I was saying, wisdom is better than all these other things we can have in our lives. You can have all the weapons, you can have all the money, you can have everything that looks good on paper and still be defeated. Amen? Now, there's this last part I want to wrap up with. It says this, one sinner destroys much good. And I think it's pretty easy to think about it like this. Like one sinner can do a lot of damage, so you got to watch out for that sinner. But I think maybe a deeper way that God has put in my heart this week as I'm looking at this is beware that you're not that sinner. You know, one sinner can do a lot of harm. Like you can do, it takes a long time to do good and to work on things and build things. You could quickly tear them down. With one word, you could tear things down. So beware that you're not that sinner. Beware of your sin, I think is where that comes to. You know, watch out. Watch how you're living. Know that with just a little bit of sin, you can do a lot of damage. And know that you haven't gotten to the point where you are mature enough that you don't have to worry about sin. You still have an ongoing battle with sin. I think you got in your bulletin, but Proverbs 22:17-18 says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips." So, as you think about it, we need to hear wisdom, and we need to receive it, and then it should be on our lips, ready to share it and to share it well. All right, so if I have the worship team come on up, or the Piettes come on up, we'll pray. And I think it's great the Piettes are really stepping up here. We got one on the drums, one up singing. We got one on the PowerPoint. We got one helping with the fellowship of the youth in the back. You know, so. All right, hey, let's pray as we wrap up here. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word in this time, Lord. It's a pretty simple thought today, Lord. We need to be a people who hear and receive wisdom and don't forget it and don't despise it, Lord. Help us with that. Help us to acknowledge and see our own sin, to repent, to live a life that is consistent with that repentance and walking with you, Lord. I invite you and your Holy Spirit to show us where we're struggling with sin. Make it clear so that we don't have prideful hearts, Lord, and also that we are able to commit ourselves to you, knowing that we're not dependent on what we do, but we're dependent on you and what you do. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.